You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets. For today's show, what I want to do in the first half is just go through all of the different news items that we've had coming out of camp. Throughout the week, we've had a lot of guests on the show this week, so have been able to talk about some of the exciting things going on at camp. So I want to do that a bit early on. Then later on in the second half of the show, I want to talk about Matt Allen, who I almost said Matthew. Doesn't want to be called Matthew. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Matt Allen, the Mets' top pitching prospect who spoke with the media on Thursday. I want to go through where he's at with the Mets and his development. And I also, in the second half of the show, am going to finally get to a big show announcement. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So let's start off with a transaction. The Mets have reportedly signed Caleb Johnson to a split contract. According to John Morosi, this would add him to the 40-man roster. A split contract is the same thing that Jose Martinez signed, where he could either be on a minor league deal, but he still has that opportunity to make the major league roster. Caleb Johnson is essentially a third or fourth catcher now on the depth chart behind James McCann and Tomas Nito. Not a great hitter throughout his career, so I wouldn't even really worry about this one too much. We'll see what he does once the games start. Analytics are helping the Mets in a lot of ways. We're seeing more analytics than ever when it comes to these pitchers and throwing their bullpens. There's finally those Rapsody cameras capturing all the data, and it's going to make the Mets better. That same type of technology and use of analytics is being brought to the defensive side of things, the offensive side of things, but it could be really important for the Mets' outfield defense in particular. Brandon Nimmo noted that with some better positioning, he thinks he can be better out in the center field. If you look at Nimmo and what he struggles with, it has been kind of making those reads and getting that good jump. Athletically, he should be good enough out in center field. So if the Mets, with some use of analytics, can put him in a better position, and same goes for Dominic Smith out there, it at least gives them more of a fighting chance to be league average, if not a little bit better. I don't necessarily expect either of them to really excel at their given positions. I think Brandon Nimmo has a better chance to do so than Dominic Smith because he is a natural outfielder. But I do believe that with this use of technology and analytics, we could see a much better unit out there with Brandon Nimmo, Dominic Smith, and Michael Conforto all getting a little bit better. And hopefully that's enough to make this at least a league average defense across the board. Now, another aspect of that is what's going on at third base. If JD Davis is going to be the starting third baseman, and all indications right now are that he is the front runner in that category, that's another place where the Mets may struggle, as well as even Pete Alonso over at first. One way to help JD Davis, aside from the fact that Francisco Lindor is going to be playing next to him, and Davis has already spoke to the fact that that gives him more confidence, would potentially be to plant Davis on the line. At MetsMorize, Thomas Hall, one of our writers, did a great piece kind of breaking down Davis's defense, and he is very good going to his glove side. So if you plant him on the line, that would hopefully at least cover up some of his deficiencies going, you know, to his backhand and hopefully heighten his strengths and maybe make him a little bit closer to a league average defender. So that's kind of what's been going on with the defense, and I'm sure that Jonathan Villar, as Luis Ross has mentioned, is going to get some time at third base. He's going to be in that competition for that role. It kind of seems like Jeff McNeil is going to be pretty cemented as the everyday second baseman, although Rojas did say everyone is going to be moving around. They want to keep that positional flexibility, but we're not seeing Davis take fly balls in left. We're seeing McNeil really at second base a lot, so you can kind of read between the lines there. One other thing to talk about is Dellin Betances. He's back. He's healthy. He's worked on his mechanics. I was actually on those Zoom calls on Wednesday for Mets Merized, and it was very interesting to watch the Betances call unfold because you saw everyone really harping on one buzzword, velocity. Where is he at? When it comes to Betances, last year he went from being one of those guys with the Yankees who was pumping in 98-mile-per-hour fastballs to really struggling to get that fastball even close to 95. So is that velocity going to be back? Just from watching his body language in this press conference, I don't think it's there. Will it return ever? Hopefully. But he talked a lot about being healthy, having a normal offseason for once, as a guy who's gone through a ton of injuries over the last couple of seasons. And he said he's really worked on his control. He's really tried to figure out how he can get rid of the cut that was on his pitch last year. He said there was no carry on his pitches, and that carry is a necessity for him to generate those swings and misses and get those strikeouts. And so that's been a real focus for him. So I do believe there's a chance that Dellin Betances might be an effective relief pitcher this year without that 98 in his back pocket. I just don't know if that's going to return. But if he does improve his mechanics, if he does get control of his pitches, you know, he can still drop a good hook. I wouldn't be surprised if he can be effective. I don't know if he's going to be the late inning, you know, great setup man he was for all those years with the Yankees if he doesn't have that fastball to rely on. But if he really irons out those mechanics, gets control of his pitches, gets that carry back, eliminates that cut that he was talking about, maybe the Mets will be in better shape with Betances, and he can at least be, you know, a quality arm in the bullpen, maybe not one that you trust as much in all of those high leverage situations. I have one more thing here to talk about, which was Chili Davis, who is back in camp, but we're going to table that for the second half of the show, where I will also talk about Matt Allen and his first media session and what he looks like right now. And then I also get into that show announcement, all that coming in just a minute. So Chili Davis is back with the Mets in person. As you may remember, last year, Davis stayed home in Arizona because he had some underlying health concerns, and he was not comfortable being in person throughout the season with the threat of the coronavirus. Now he has been vaccinated. He's going to get another booster shot during spring training at some point, and he is finally comfortable, has that peace of mind to get back to doing his job. And I think that's going to be big for this Mets team, because you see J.D. Davis, the way he talked about having Chili or not having Chili last year, and Pete Alonso said the same thing. And those were a couple of players that Chili was asked about and he was talking about, because they really had unbelievable 2019 seasons under his tutelage. And now he comes back, gets that ability to help them a little bit more hands-on. And I think what Davis mentioned that was really interesting, or that really made a lot of sense about the differences between being there and not being there, is it just comes down to being in that dugout. That means something. And Tom Slater did a great job filling in for him, and the 2020 Mets were a great offensive team, but having Chili there is really important to some of those hitters where he's, you know, really in their ear. You know, J.D. Davis really counts on Chili. Seems like Pete Alonso really counts on Chili. So to have him there in between and a bat is really important. I think it was also interesting how he said a lot of times the adjustments they're making It's just refocusing on the game plan they previously had. Because at times, they do all this preparation before the game, and he was able to be part of that last year through Zoom and phone calls. And then you get in the game, and you just have to be the guy to remind them, look, you said you were going to do this. You said you were going to be focusing on this, this, and this against that pitcher. And, you know, why is your front shoulder flying open? Why aren't you waiting? Why aren't you getting into a good count? Whatever that game plan is, if they're straying from it, it's just important to have them there to say, look, what are you doing? This is what we talked about. You're not doing that in your next at bat. Remember to do X, Y, and Z. So all that is really important. A couple other interesting things Chile said. He said that Michael Conforto doesn't really need much coaching anymore. Kind of talking about how he's really come into his own. He's essentially a finished product who has so much more ahead of him. He's really high on Conforto and what he can bring to the team and his leadership and everything else. And so it was interesting to see kind of the difference as he talked about Davis and Alonso, who maybe need a little bit more guidance. And then he talked about Conforto and Lindor, who are these veteran leaders that can really lead by example themselves. It was also pretty interesting that he compared Lindor to David Ortiz, who he coached in Ortiz's final two seasons in, I think it was 2015 and 2016, when he was the hitting coach for the Red Sox. And he just said that Lindor has that same attention to detail, the same work ethic, and that is pretty impressive to get that high of praise. Ortiz, a borderline Hall of Famer, arguably the greatest designated hitter ever. Lindor is a guy that can reach those Hall of Fame heights. That's really impressive. And to have that caliber of a player in the dugout this year, it's going to have an immense impact. Finally, a couple other notes from Davis's press conference. He said that Kevin Pillar was very happy to be part of a team like this and to take a team-first approach to his offense, to not be focusing as much about the numbers. And Chile said the only thing they care about is getting to the playoffs. All those personal numbers don't matter. All that matters is you get to play in October. And it seems like Pillar is a guy who's been a veteran, has been around for a really long time, who just had a couple of good offensive seasons. He's ready to buy into that. And the other thing is that the Mets are going to focus a little bit more on base running and situational hitting, according to Davis. And that's kind of a buzz thing that most hitting coaches will say during spring training. But it is interesting considering the fact that the Mets led the league in hitting last year, but those hits didn't always show up on the scoreboard. So having that extra emphasis on base running and being able to get runners in, that's important. Hopefully the Mets can iron some of that stuff out. Now let's switch gears and talk about Matt Allen. And I emphasize Matt, not Matthew, because he says that he does not want to be called Matthew because he feels like he's in trouble with his mom whenever he hears that name. So we're going to call him Matt. And this is a very exciting pitching prospect for the Mets. He turns 20 in April. Obviously last year didn't get to have a minor league season, but he did a lot of really good work at the alternate site. And it's pretty fascinating that the Mets have essentially paired him up with Jacob DeGrom and have told DeGrom to mentor him. And that shows really the ceiling that they see in this guy. They think that Matt Allen can be the next leader of this staff down the line. I don't know how long it's going to take for him to get there, but you're talking about a guy who, according to Baseball America, is the Mets' number three prospect, who they say has been pitching at with 96-mile-per-hour fastball that has life. They call it a double-plus four-seam fastball. They talk about his curveball as a plus pitch that can be called for strikes with his great location and the great power break it has with the spin rate of over 2,800 RPMs. You talk about a changeup that Allen said he really believes in now, thinks it was his best pitch at the alternate site. This guy has frontline starter potential, and the Mets are pinning him to Jacob DeGrom because they want DeGrom to help really quicken that learning curve and get him to a point where he could be really successful. And I'm fascinated about where this guy ends up this season. Does he start the year in high A? Is that asking too much of him, as he hasn't pitched above rookie ball yet, but he missed a year of his development where he probably would have spent most of the season in low A? So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility then he's going to start the season in high A, and who knows where he ends up. Maybe if he has a really good first half, he ends up in double A Binghamton. I really don't know exactly how everything is going to pan out for him this year, but you can tell the Mets are really high on him. From seeing him speak today, great poise, great confidence. He just felt like he belonged at such a young age. He's still a teenager. Again, he hasn't turned 20 until April. It's remarkable to see a kid at 19 have that confidence to talk to the media the way he did, to field all the questions, to really be a sponge right now. And it just has to make you excited as a Mets fan, because there really hasn't been that next pitching prospect waiting in the wings for some time, because Brody Van Wagenen would ship him off anytime they got close, right? Traded Anthony Kay, traded Justin Dunn. Those were the first round picks that were supposed to be the next guys up, you know? And really anyone you could have even tried to get attached to, it felt like they were always getting close to being out the door. Semien Woods-Richardson is a great pitching prospect, and at least the Mets still have Marcus Stroman, but he could be something special out in Toronto. And so it's good to see Matt Allen now maybe be on a little bit more of a fast track. I'm not saying we're going to see him this year by any stretch. I doubt we'd even see him next year. But this is a guy who has such great stuff that his development could really just kind of take off if he starts a season really dominant. So Allen is certainly one of those guys to watch in spring training, not to make the team or anything, but to definitely see what he can do and hopefully maybe get him into some games where he can pitch against a major league competition and see how the teenager fares. It'll be really exciting to watch. Now, I know I covered a lot of different topics on today's show. I was just really trying to give you an idea of some of the running themes in camp right now. There's going to be room throughout spring training to dive a little bit deeper in some of those topics, like the Mets defense, like the growth and development of some of those prospects. And one of the things I'm excited to announce now is there's going to be a little bit more room to talk about all of it, because the Locked On Podcast Network is expanding our MLB channel from 2-segment shows to 3-segment shows. Now that means you're going to get an extra 7 to 10 minutes of Locked On Mets every day. And what I am really excited to roll out here is this partnership that we've been developing with MetsMerize that I've been teasing throughout the month. For those of you who don't know, I got my start at MetsMerize. I was writing there when I was 19. I've been an editor now for some time. And there's just a lot of talented people who cover the Mets that work on the site. And I'm excited to bring in some of my colleagues as voices on the show in that third segment. You've heard from some of the running guests we'll have throughout the season over the last couple of weeks. Jack Ramsey this week, he's definitely going to be a part of Locked On Mets now in some capacity. You heard Rob Pearsall and Jolly Olive last week, and that's going to kind of be the goal of that third segment. I want to continue to give you the show that you daily listeners are used to in the first 2 segments, the one that I've been doing the last couple of years, and then that additional segment will be a way to combine a lot of the talent we have over at MetsMerize and integrate it into Locked On Mets, as the show is now featured on MetsMerize's website through our MMO digital section that comes out every day in the morning briefing. So a lot of very exciting stuff ahead. I'm really looking forward to this season. It's been a lot of fun to do this show the last couple of years, and I just feel like things are only going to get better as the Mets seem to be on a better path. I believe that the coverage around the Mets is only getting better as well. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter @FinkelsteinRyan and follow the show @LockedOnMets.